Last week I began talking about keys to a greater kingdom, keys to greater glory. And I only looked at one key last week, and I'm going to cover three more today very quickly. A lot of what I'm going to say you've heard already, but not everything. And this is just to remind you, and I told you this because the Holy Spirit has me just reminding you of certain things. You need to have things ingrained in your spirit, and it needs to become a part of you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we hear, and we hear, and we hear, one day it will just suddenly sink right into your spirit, and you'll know that you know what you've heard. So that's the whole purpose, or one of the reasons why we repeat things. Very necessary, and any pastor knows that in a church setting. We've been saying from 2024, in my life in 2024, I'm removing every hindrance so God can work through me. And I said it last week, I said it again this week. By this time, we should be looking and reflecting and seeing what God has done in our hearts and in our lives. Because the work of the kingdom is not just about you. Yes, you have your needs, and God has made provision for that. But it's also about others. And going into 2025, we need to be thinking about others. How can I reach others? Who can I invite to church that I've not invited? Who can I target in a prayerful way to witness to them, to know the Lord, or to lead them to Jesus Christ? That's how our thinking should be. Christianity is never about I, me, and myself. That's a selfish kind of living. And God never intended for us to live like that. And his example that was set through his son, Jesus Christ, exemplifies that. When Jesus came, he didn't live for himself. He ministered to others. He made himself available. And the power of God that was in his life outflowed to others. And that's how the church today should be. Okay? So when we talk about glory, and I told you a little bit about that last week. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today. Keys to a greater tomorrow, and we're talking about the glory of God being intensified. And I know I've talked on this before, but what we're really talking about is we're talking about the presence of God intensified. We're talking about the heaviness of the presence of God coming amongst us. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, just in the Old Testament alone, there are over 20 different words that's used for the glory. Okay, kabod, kavod, shekinah, or 20 different Hebrew words are used for that. So I said last week that the word glory covers a wide span of things. And so when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about a number of things. And I also mentioned to you, as a matter of fact, I'll repeat it now, that there are four different areas, broadly speaking, of where glory can be seen. Number one, glory is seen in God. We glorify God, and the Bible talks about also God glorifying us. That's number two. But we also see from the Word of God that Jesus Christ was glorified, and we know as well from the teaching of Scripture that things and places can also be glorified. Four different areas, four different levels of glory. And so one of those, the second one I mentioned, was us. God glorifies us. And we looked at one scripture. There's so many, but we're not talking about that today. We just want to move on to what we're talking about. So let me move on. Last week we looked at 2 Peter 1 verse 3. It says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We looked at that word glory, and we said the word glory used here in the New Testament, it's the New Testament, so it's a Greek word, and it's a word doxa. And there are many different definitions for that, including brightness, including heaviness, including weight, including splendor, including majesty. These are all words that's used for the word glory, you know, in the Bible. But we said last week, I kept it simple. We said, let's keep it simple. The word glory means to honor, or honor due or rendered. Honor due or rendered. And we said honor is when we place a high value on someone or something. Okay? So the word glory here is the word doxa. The word virtue, we said that means good quality or excellence of any kind. So we talked about, number one, we need to be surrendered and more deeply surrendered. It's not that you're not surrendered, but have you surrendered all? The songwriter said, I surrender all to Jesus, blessed Savior. I surrender all. Because it is true that we can be surrendered in one part of our lives, but not in another part of our lives. And I gave examples of that. We need to be deeply surrendered to Jesus Christ. Please recognize and realize that your life is not your own. Don't we sing that in that song? My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. That's what it's talking about. This is all scriptural. Okay? And so our life is not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. We can't do as we please. We do as He pleases. We do what He wants us to do. Because we belong to Him. Okay? Now today we're going to talk about the second key. And I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. Some of them I'll talk about shortly, some I'll go into a little bit more depth, because some of these scriptures you know already. Now, we need to be, if we want to see a greater tomorrow, we need to be completely surrendered. Surrendered in every part of our life. But we also need to be deeply, we need to have a deeper knowledge and a deeper understanding. A deeper knowledge of things and of God and a deeper understanding. Why? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. And notice I highlighted the words get. That's for you to pursue and to receive into your being. Okay? Understanding and wisdom. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't do that. And the words of God's mouth can come through the preaching of the word today. It can come through a testimony that someone might give. The Holy Spirit can use that to speak to someone. The words of God's mouth can even come, let me just say this, through a billboard. You're on your way home, driving your car, you look at the billboard. I know this happened to me one time. And you see something and then the Holy Spirit begins to minister to you pertaining to what you've seen. Okay, God knows how to speak to His people and He speaks to them in different ways. Before I close today, I hope to read something from the book of Ezekiel that I came across in my daily reading yesterday. And I'm going to mention it pertaining to this very point. The importance of hearing and doing. And when we don't, we get ourselves into trouble. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. All right? Now, the truth is this, that the more you know, the more you discover that you don't know as you ought. I've lived a long time on this planet. Well, not so long, really, but, you know, I've lived a bit on this planet. And it's one of the things I've discovered. The more you know, man, is the more you discover that you don't know. So there's always depth or scope for learning. Never think that you know everything about some things. Because even though you may know a lot and it may look like it's everything that you know, you'll find out later on that actually there's something else about that thing that I thought I knew that I didn't. Now, this is actually scriptural. Let me show you a scripture in the Bible that confirms this point that I have here on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. There you go. The Word of God. You can't argue with the Word of God. Listen to what Proverbs 23, verse 23 says. Very peculiar verse. But listen to it very carefully. I've got it here on the screen. Buy truth. Buy the truth. And do not sell it. Listen to that. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. So, what is the scripture here telling us to do? Buy the truth. What does it mean? Go to the shops and buy truth. Can I have a pound of truth, please? No, that's not what it's talking about. You know what it's saying? When it says buy the truth, it's talking about invest in the truth. That's what it's talking about. Invest in the truth. You must invest in yourself. There are two areas of knowledge to invest in. Number one, the knowledge of the Word of God. You must invest in that. And number two, the knowledge of the laws of life. You must invest in that. So, remember now, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. God has made all things available to us that pertains to what? Godliness and life. Come on, say it with me. Godliness and
life.
Say it again. Godliness and life. Remember what I said last week? Spiritual things as well as practical things. And here we have it. The Bible's telling us to buy truth, invest in truth. Invest yourself to know more about the Word of God. Get the tools, get the concordances, get the study Bibles, invest, spend money, invest your resources to get knowledge, get understanding. But also in the laws of life as well, your business, whatever venture that you're going into, know more about what it is that you're operating in. So here we have God's Word telling us to invest, if you like, in not just truth, okay, but also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Love instruction and love to receive instruction and knowledge. I do. And I always have the disposition of a learner. So wherever I am, whoever I am with, I can learn from that individual, from that person, from that circumstance. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You want building up? The word of his grace will do that. God's word will do that. And give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Now note this verse, okay? And these are what I get from these that verse. Believers were not just commended to God, but also to his word. I tell you the truth. Christians today who are going to be successful at anything, who are going to be triumphant at anything, these are the people who are going to know God's word. They're going to know God, but they're going to know God's word and the importance that God's word has in their life. But note also that the word is able, it says, to build you up. Okay, but not just that. It's able to give you an inheritance. And thirdly, your inheritance is manifested among the sanctified. And who are the sanctified? God's people. That's you and I. So your inheritance will be manifested amongst like-minded people. Amongst those who are, the word sanctified means set apart for service. And we're sanctified. We're set apart for service. And here, the Word of God is saying that your inheritance that you're getting is going to be manifested amongst those who are set apart for service. Because not everybody that goes to church is set apart for service. Some people just come to church and they don't get involved. And that's never God's heart, never His intention. Alright, so, be intimate with God's Word is what I'm saying. When believers intimately and actively engage with the Word of God, God will reveal Himself. How? Three different ways. So please note this. God will reveal Himself through the prophetic, through also the promises of God's Word. Remember now, for every problem, there's a promise. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you've got a promise, no matter how big the problem may be. So God reveals Himself through the prophetic, the promises, and also the principles of God's Word. And that's why you need to have understanding pertaining to what God is saying, what God is doing, why He's preserved the Word over all these years for us today, so that we can live by them. So that's briefly it, okay? With the second key, we need more knowledge and we need more understanding. We need to be deeper, get deeper in knowledge, get deeper in understanding. And I've told you enough here for you to actually leave here and make a difference on that one point. Point number three. So number one is surrender, a deeper surrender. Number two, a deeper knowledge and understanding. If we're going to go places with God, if we're going to have a greater tomorrow. And number three, a deeper humility. Now, I taught on this very recently, so I don't need to go through a lot or say a lot on this, because we all know what it is. But once again, it's good to be reminded of things, okay? And so let's define it. Humility, the definition is to make one's self lower than another. To be meek. These are different words or definitions. Humility is also compliance. To place your mission under the mission of another. That's the meaning of the word humility. Some of you may remember this slide that I put up some time ago. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but is thinking of yourself less. So this humility is not demeaning yourself. It's not devaluing yourself. You can't devalue yourself in the sight of God and call that right, because God doesn't devalue you. You are valuable to Him. You are precious to Him. You mean a lot to God. So God never intends to devalue His people. But what His people sometimes need to do is to stop thinking about yourself so much. Me, we need to change that language and put in some other symbols, syllables. Okay? So let's have a look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." When you're truly humbled, you are compliant to the authorities that's been placed over you, whether it be at church, or whether it be at work, or whether it be at home. And that's a prerequisite for every believer that wants to be used by God. You need to understand the place of humility. 1 Peter 5 verse 6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." How many people know due time is coming? It's coming, man. God's going to exalt and pray. You're going through stuff now. You're going through horrible stuff now. You're going through stuff that you don't like, that's not pleasurable right now. But you're going through it. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." Hey, listen, God is with you. And you may be going through some stuff, but thank God there's coming a time, a day, an hour when you will come out, and you'll come out for good in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, I can say it, you know. I can say it, and I say it because I believe it in my own heart. I'm not just saying words. But you've got to really believe that. You've got to believe it, that God is your source and that He is going to exalt you and bring you out and bring you through into a greater tomorrow. But I've got to humble myself first. So that's the third key. Fourth key, and the last key I'm talking about today, is calling and crying unto God. You've heard me echo that for a long time now. Well, not for a long time, but for some, at least a couple months now, I've been talking about the importance of using our voice, the importance of opening our mouths and declaring. I've said to you a number of things pertaining to this. You can't praise God internally. "Oh, I'm just praising God internally, not out my mouth." There's no such thing. You can't do that. That's unscriptural. It's unbiblical. If you're going to praise God, it has to be audible. As a matter of fact, when we look at a lot of things and a lot of teachings in the Word of God, it requires the use or the activation of our voice. And so we have got to get past. Well, let me flash up the screen. Colossians 2 verse 8. Because, you see, some of us may be fearful of what people might think or criticism that might come if I open my voice, lift up my hands, if I declare or say something that seems contrary, but it lines up with God's word. Some of us might sort of, you know, kind of, well, should I really, is that the thing to do? Now, let me warn you here, or let the word of God warn you. Colossians 2 verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Do not let anybody talk you out of what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, what the Word of God tells you to do. Are you with me, church? Don't do that. Don't, you know, you know. For example, if there's, you know, a recession on in the earth and in the world or in London, let's say London, there's a recession on, and you know, people come and say, oh, you know, talking this or talking about, oh, this will never happen because of the recession. Oh, that will never happen because of recession. Do you know that you're not subject to recession? Do you know that our God is not subject to recession? So don't let people talk you out of your blessing because it's all craziness going on out there. You're not subject to it. Listen to me. Let me remind you. You are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative of another kingdom. You are here in this earth, but you're not of this earth, of this world. You are of a higher kingdom, the kingdom of God. And you are subject to His laws, His rule. So whatever God says, whatever God has provided for you, that is it. An ambassador that represents another country that resides here is provided for by his home country. They fit all the bills. They fit all the expenses. You are ambassadors in this earth. God is your source. Didn't we say that earlier? We said that. That God is your source, folks. Listen to me carefully. Your job, your business, that is not your source. God is your source. The Bible says you should remember the Lord thy God, for it is He who gives us the power to gain wealth so that He may establish His kingdom. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I always get that right. So that He may establish His kingdom. God is your source. He is the one who's provided and given you the health, the strength, the job that you're in, so that you can function, so that you can apply the laws of life I spoke about earlier to function here on this earth. But God is your source. Yes, you need money to pay your bills, but God is your source. He's the one who's going to provide for you. Okay? He's the one who's going to do that. God is the one who's going to open doors. When man shuts doors, God will open doors that no man can shut. And He will make a way out of no way. Don't you know that our God specializes in that? So we ought to have confidence. Even though everything in the world is getting all dark and chaos is all around us, the church of the living God, hey, our light is shining more and more. We're Goshen, man, Goshen. In Egypt, there was all darkness in every part of Egypt, except where? In Goshen. Why? Because that's where God's people dwelt. Light. Light. Let your light shine. And don't let anybody cheat you out of confessing, out of declaring, out of saying what God has already said. Amen. Don't let anybody cheat you out of that. I've hammered that enough. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call to me, you know this. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now please understand, this is God talking, not the prophet. This is God talking, and He's talking to His people. Okay? And He's saying, call to me, call to me. How do you call? With your voice. Call to me, and I will show you, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried out and the Lord answered him. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Notice that the Lord heard before He saved. So that means He cried out. He cried, the Lord heard, the Lord saved. He cried out, the Lord heard, the Lord saved out of all his troubles. Verse 15 of that same psalm says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. We serve a good God who is already constantly having His eyes fixed upon you. Not just to see what you're doing, to see what you are saying, to hear what you're saying, and to see what you are doing, and to know how you are thinking. And if you're thinking the right things in the right way, the right time, God will show up. And that's what we want. We want God to show up. We said that this morning. We sang it this morning. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We invite you here. We need you here. Every Sunday I say to the Lord, I can't stand here behind this pulpit, Lord, without you, Lord. Because I don't want to be a self-sufficient pastor. I don't want to be a self-sufficient speaker. Somebody who has the ability to just get up and to do things, and to do things without the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's not me. I don't want that. And I know you don't want that neither. We want a deeper hunger for Him. A deeper, deeper, deeper walk with Him. And guess what? He wants you to have that because He wants to have a deeper fellowship with you as well. Psalm 34 and verse 17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 35 verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And I love that verse. I love all of God's word, but there are some favorites I have, and this is one of them really, because God here is expressing himself to us, and I'm going to show you another one a bit more. And so what should we do? Paul said we should run in such a way that you're obtaining. Walk in such a way that you are walking according to the precepts and the principles of God's word, so that the manifestation of his blessing, of his power, of what he wants to give to you can be yours. Run in that way. Do you not know that they which run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain. Okay? Now, steps to go deeper then. Let me just, I've given you four. One last week, three today. Okay? Steps for a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. Keys for a greater tomorrow. Okay? So let me just recap here, and then I'm going to just give you some more scriptures as well. Steps to go deeper. Number one, how am I going to go deeper in my walk with God? How am I going to go deeper in my Christian living? Number one, examine your heart. Simple little steps. Examine your heart. No. See what's there. Is there anything there that displeases God? You know, is there anything there that should not be there? Or is there anything that's not there that should be there? Like the Word of God. Number two, examine your schedule. Look at the schedule. Am I too busy to pray with God's people? Am I too busy to activate my hands and my feet? Am I too busy with other things? Do I prioritize other things above that which actually God wants me to? If I want a deeper walk with God, if I want a greater tomorrow, and if I'm saying God is my source, then God has got to be up there, number one. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's right standing with God and man, and then everything else will be added. Okay? So I've got to examine my schedule. I've got to look and see, hang on a minute, what am I doing? What am I thinking about? What's priority here? What's priority? And if the kingdom is somewhere down here, if God is somewhere down here and not up there, then we need to reshuffle. We need to reshuffle our priorities. We've got the priorities wrong. Number three, focus on God and not on the storms. You're going to have storms. Storms in life are natural. Look, everything will not always go right and the way that you expect it to go. You will have difficulty. You will have challenges. And we've got to realize that and recognize that. So we've got to not focus, though, on the storms. Focus on God. Because he's your source. Number four, break down walls and barriers. And there's more coming up. It's not just four. Break down the walls and the barriers that you see in your life. And you've got to break them down sometimes through fasting, sometimes through prayer, sometimes through both, and a deliberate, conscious effort to, if you like, attack those things, attack those barriers, those hindrances that stop the light of God's glory from shining through. Attack them. Number five, operate in forgiveness. Isaiah 1:18, 1 John 1:9. Operate in forgiveness. Look, listen, please don't get into the trap that I hear people in the past talk about, well, I'm not ready to forgive yet. Well, I'm not at the place where I need, well, I'm not ready to release them yet and forgive them yet. It's like you want to, somebody's done you hurt or harm, so you want to hold on to that, and you want to make them suffer a bit more. And I've told in the past that, you know, when we choose to not forgive, what we're choosing to do is to hold on to the pain, to hold on to everything, the hurt, and everything that, you know, we've gone through. So forgiveness equals release. When I choose to forgive, I release myself from that hurt, from that pain. So choose to forgive. Operate in it. Number six. Silence condescending voices. The voices that show up, the voices that will always want to talk you down or contradict God's word indirectly or directly. The voices that want to come and to speak against the authority of God's word, against your purpose, against the destiny that God has assigned to you. You should be protecting that with everything that's around you. Silence those condescending voices. Condescending voices come to bring you down, to make you lower. They don't come to lift you up. Recognize them and pull them down. And I've taught you how to pull down thoughts that come. Because that's how Satan primarily operates, through suggestion. Planting seeds of doubt in our minds so that it pulls us away from the word of God and the purposes of God. That's his objective. So silence those there's so much more I could say about that. But you silence it, by the way, by using your voice. Use your voice to pull down and to stop. I got you counting from 1 to 10 one time, then I said, say out loud, Jesus is Lord. And when you said that, you broke those thoughts. And that's what we do. We break those thoughts that come, stop them circulating in your mind by speaking out, declaring, releasing. That's why you got to know there's power in your words. And God knew that. That's why he assigned that to us and gave us these things. Number seven, give God thanks. Give God thanks. So we want to have a deeper surrender. We want to have a deeper knowledge and understanding of God. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:23 to buy it. Buy it. Invest in it. We want to have a deeper humility, a deeper walk in humility. And also, we want to live in a deeper realm where we're crying unto God from the depths of our hearts more. Folks, don't wait until you're in pain. Don't wait until the bad thing happens before you really cry out unto God. God is waiting for you to cry out unto him now. From now. So that going into 2025, we can begin to manifest. What was the statement that I made? I made a statement a few times. And all right, it will come back to me. It will come back to me. Well, think a little bit more. All right, so finally, Jeremiah 9:24 says this, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord executing loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Now, looking at that, what three things does God delight in? Loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment. Those three things. "For in these I delight," says the Lord. I said this to you before because it's not the first time I flashed this up. And we should be pursuing and endeavoring, okay, to know more about the things that God delights in. Whatever God delights in, that's what I want to be invested in. Alright, so God is a God of judgment. He's a God of righteousness. Okay? And he's also a God who exhibits loving kindness. Loving kindness, by the way, is the grace of God. Alright? It's God's love in action. Okay? So, worthwhile noting. Hudson Taylor said this, "We have given too much attention to methods and to machinery and to resources and too little to the source of power, the filling of the Holy Ghost." And what he was really saying here is that Listen, methods can only get you so far. Schemes can only get you so far. Not that they're bad, but they can only get you so far. And he's saying, his observation is that the church has spent too much time investing in these things and in the resources that they have, and too little to the resource, to the source of power, which is the Holy Spirit. And so we need to give more time to the Holy Spirit, more time to what God wants, because the Holy Spirit will always and always represent God and what He wants. Isaiah 34 verse 16, search from the book of the Lord and read. Back to the word of God again. Not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. I'm going to read Isaiah 34. That's the last slide. But I'm going to read a portion of not 34, Isaiah 33. I'm going to read a portion of scripture here, and this is what I'm saying about this. I'm saying my prayer today is that you will not be caught like this. Look, Ezekiel was called to be a watchman, and he watched, and God warned him and said to him, I'm telling you to warn and to give my people warning. If you don't, their blood is going to be on your shoulder. If you give heed and then they don't listen, then their blood is going to be on their shoulder. And he said, if you warn them and they heed, they will be saved. And this is what God had to say down in chapter 33. He said, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word that is that comes from the Lord. So they came to you as people do. They came to him and they sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song. Oh, lovely words you're speaking, Ezekiel. We love to hear you talk. Such words of wisdom, Ezekiel. Indeed, you are to them a lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And this is the response of God telling him now about the hearts of the people that God has sent him to warn. And we know from the scripture, even in the New Testament, James 1:22 says, be ye doers of my word and not hearers only. As we close this year, which we soon will be doing, and we go into 2025 if the Lord doesn't come, and if our lives tarry, we want to go into 2025 being doers of God's word. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. Being doers of God. Are you with me today? Yes. Being doers of his word. Not just hearing the word, oh, that was good, that was nice, that's what these people did. But God was watching and God said, yeah, they receive it as a lovely song, but they're not doing it. They're not actioning it. They're not obeying you. They're not heeding the warning. And we said, we've got to focus now on God, on his kingdom. What, Lord, what do you want? Lord, we welcome you, and we welcome you into our hearts, into our lives, into our church, into our ministries, into our homes, into our business. Lord, we welcome you. But Lord, as we go into 2025, use me even greater than you've used me in 2024. Lord, let the manifestation of your power and your purposes, Lord God, be revealed in my life. Let it be revealed in my life. The manifestation of God's power and God's will does not come when we need it. It comes when we call upon him. I think that was the statement I was trying to remember, and I haven't even quoted that correctly, but that's the essence of it. Okay? The manifestation of power, of God's delivering power, God's miraculous power, doesn't come when we need it. It comes when we call upon him. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of, number one, knowing God's word. Number two, making sure your prayer life is active. And number three, making sure that you are speaking correctly, doing correctly, and that you are calling upon God from the depths of your heart with every sincerity. Because that's what God is looking for. He looks past the outward and he sees the inward. And if our disposition is right, then the manifestation and the glory of God will be seen. Let me tell you a little bit about the word glory. We sang about it today, and we read about it, we talk about it a lot. But the word glory, in the Greek, it's the word, we've seen it already, the word doxa. In the Hebrew, it's the word kavod, or kabod, okay? And it means to be weighty, it means to be bright. It means splendor. It has a number of meanings, okay? But it means splendor. It means value. It means also majesty. A number of meanings that word has. So when we're talking about the glory of God, and sometimes, I said this before, but I'll say it again. Sometimes we've got to be careful because we pray for the Shekinah, but I don't think sometimes people really recognize what the Shekinah is. The Shekinah, as far as I understand from the Word of God, is the brightest kind of glory, the heaviest type of glory that can be seen. It's almost like the fullness of the splendor of God coming in. And folks, that fullness of God can actually destroy us because, you know, God is powerful. And so he knows how to handle us and he knows how to do things. And so, you know, other words are used that are not so heavy, if you like. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. If the Shekinah should come and then, you know, we've got faults in us, we might burn up right in that presence. That light will just consume us. And that's what people in the Old Testament used to pray, Lord, we don't want. And they used to say to Moses at one time, Moses, you go, we can't go. Because they recognize that there's sin in their life, man. It's not just a matter of not being worthy, but it's there's sin in their life. They recognize that. Moses, you go at the foot of the mountain. They said, Moses, you go. God was calling him. He wanted fellowship with people. But they would say, Moses, you go. You go on our behalf. And that's what sin does. Sin always wants to separate us from the love and the purposes of God. My prayer today, folks, is that that won't be our portion in Jesus' name. That as we move into 2025, that glory that we're talking about will come more and more and more in our lives. And just as we glorify him, as we bless him, as we praise him. You remember the different ways I told you that of bringing, you want to attract God's presence, what do? You praise. Yeah? Worship. Help me, what else? I don't need help, but, sorry? Alright, fellowship. Because that's what God intended from the very beginning. But if you want to draw the presence of God, praise, worship, obedience. These are all scriptural. Obedience and service. Serving God. Those four things. Okay? And fellowship is in the midst of that as well. So Kara is right. Sorry, I called your name Kara. And it's on record. Yes, Kara. She's a wonderful, bright woman in our midst. Thank you for that. So, folks, just endeavor to love the Lord and to seek him and to do everything that you can for him. And believe for a greater tomorrow, because a greater tomorrow is on its way in Jesus' name. Let's stand on our feet.